Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour here. Tiki and Tierney company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. You found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Yep, plenty of wetness here in Manhattan, New York City, surrounding areas. Yankees and the Astros postponed until tomorrow while the Nationals get to soak up that champagne an extra day or so. They must have gone nuts last night. No game today, no game tomorrow, no game the next day, no game over the weekend. If I'm a National right now, I am partying for two straight days.
Why not? Right?
I'm going nuts.
You're chilling for a little bit now. You can relax and improbably here they are on the World Series representing the National League. And nobody expected them to be there.
No, absolutely incredible.
I mean, people thought the Mets had a better chance of coming out of the East than they did.
It's a good division too, Teague. I mean, if the Mets get the right manager, you know, it looks like Girardi. If they're willing to, Girardi wants the job. Mm-hmm. If the Mets are willing to finally break away from their cheap ways and pay somebody instead of taking the easy way out like they did with Callaway and others before that, I really think that, you know, and I've said this before, you got a number four hitter in Alonso, who's a masher. You got the best pitcher or one of the two or three best in the game in DeGrom. You've got, you know, three or four other young guys who are, you know, Conforto, Rosario, just started, McNeil, just entering their prime. You got a few controllable young pitchers still in Syndergaard. And I mean, if they get the bullpen right, and by the way, the bullpen might be right just by Diaz coming back. It's a different season.
Yeah.
That the volatility of the bullpen is well chronicled throughout baseball. It is what it is. It's one of the unknowns. You just can't predict outside of a few greats. Otherwise, everywhere else, it's like teams hold on for dear life. So the Mets aren't too far away. The Nats are going to the World Series. The Braves are loaded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Phillies have a ton of talent. They're bringing a manager. That division is really, really good. You know, we aren't sure yet if the AFC South is very good. We're not sure yet. Got to see what the Titans do, mm-hmm. if Tannehill makes any noise, if he makes a difference. The Colts, they're obviously good, but how good? I think one team that we know that is pretty good and might be getting ready to make a little move and get a little separation from everybody else in that division would be the Texans. Four wins, 4-2 all the season. One of their great defensive players, Whitney Mercilus, is with us here on the show. Whitney, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you, fellas?
Awesome, man.
Yeah,
what's happening?
We are fantastic. Look, I don't. Surprise is not the right word because I'm sure you guys prepared in different ways for this Kansas City Chiefs game. But from the outside, everybody was saying this: the Chiefs have this great offense. This Chiefs team and Pat Mahomes, who is MVP, can't be slowed down. What was the secret, at least in the second half, to curtailing what was one of the more explosive offenses in football? Because it was a hell of a job you guys did, especially in the second half.
Yeah, biggest thing I think really was, it was a team effort as far as the front line containing Mahomes and also the DBs, getting up and pressing the receivers, disrupting the timing between the throws and all that. So really, really did rattle their offense in that sort of way. And also, you know, really just taking care of the run early on in the game. I don't think they ran that much. And also, I think they only had about 50 yards rushing as far as they go. So we couldn't let them gash us. And we had to just be able to react and read the screens as well, too, because they can break you off for some big yardage running screens as well, too. So we were able to handle that pretty early on. But they did hit us a few times or so.
Yeah. No, just not enough to ultimately get the win. But on the other side, you guys did as well. I mean, what's it felt like with this Houston team that you've been on for the last few years now, Whitney? Because – you know, there's always a high expectation, and then there's always some letdown. This year feels different. Does it feel the same to you guys?
Man, you know, I mean, in the past, the teams that I've been, as far as the Texans go, our roster is the most talented roster that we've seen and have been experiencing. So, yeah, playmakers from top to bottom, and week to week, we just we just put our heads down and just grind and showcase what we can do. Now, there's some things that we got to clean up and all that, but I think we're turning it upwards in the right direction.
Yeah, I certainly think that's fair. Whitney Mercilus is with us here for the 4-2 Houston Texans. And, you know, I'm curious because now the Astros, and the Astros have been good for a couple of years, so, you know, you've had to obviously navigate that dance. Listen, there's enough fans in the city of Houston to root for everybody before you know it, the Rockets will be hitting the court here. But with the Astros, a couple of wins away from the World Series and a recent, you know, championship pedigree, where's the Houston Texans' place right now amongst the city of Houston, like the sporting pecking order? Where do you guys reside? Where do you think?
Oh, man, that's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, as of right now, I mean, the Astros, they're doing it. I mean, they've done it. You know, did the World Series, and they're all well on the way this year as well, too. So, you know, I think we're right in there. Like, if not, like, right under them as far as that goes. But I can't put the cart before the horse, and so
smart.
It's still a long season.
I got you.
Listen, as far as that goes.
Understood, man. You gotta, you know, each week really is a season in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. We've seen so many crazy occurrences in the NFL. Deshaun Watson now has time, or a lot more time to throw than he has. You know, and he's starting to get the. We all know he's good. There's no debate in that. We know he can throw. We know he's smart. He's a good leader. He's fast. He's a good athlete. But now he's got time, and he's making very few mistakes. What do you see from your franchise quarterback when you watch him from the sidelines?
Man, I mean, our offensive line doing a great job of just keeping him clean, allowing him to make the reads that he needs to. Having a lot of time back there to really, you know, air it out. And, you know, if it's not there, just take off and go run. And the thing is, from him, he's made plays in the past, and he continues to do that. And he's doing it at an exceptionally high level, week in and week out.
He's such a good kid. What is he like? You know, we get a glimpse. I know Tiki appreciates this as a former player. He's done this the last two press conferences where he's actually taken media members that seemingly through like the entire concept of the play. So we know he's smart. What is he like, you know, in the building, in the weight room? What kind of leader is Deshaun Watson to you guys?
Oh, man. Well, for him, he's just, he's just chilled. He doesn't really say much, but he takes control of that. When he's on the field, he takes control. He's a laid-back guy off the field, all about business for sure. Loves it. And he loves to have fun as well, too. So, you know, you see him, you know, whether he's dancing or something like that, and just listening to music and all that. One of the strong silent type, I'll say.
It's a good combo. Hey, listen, this is a hard league. You win, you got to do a little dancing, man. Nothing wrong with that, Whitney, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Whitney Mercilus is with us. The Texans start to make their move a little bit. 4-2 on the season. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Look, you battled injuries last year, pec injury at the end of 2017. J.J. Watt also had injuries for the last couple of years. You both are healthy now. You have 5 sacks. You're leading the team. You've got an interception in there. J.J. Watt's got 4 sacks. Is right behind you. But the one issue that came up this offseason was with your compatriot, Jadeveon Clowney. And obviously the trade happened and he went out. But it seems like you guys don't miss him. Are things like cleaned up? Is there less? Like, how can you explain that, right? You lose one of the best defensive players in football, yet you guys are playing as good a defense as you've ever played. And how do you explain that?
We pretty much what we have, and the mentality that we have is always the next man out mentality, and we got to adjust. The roster will always adjust year in and year out, and so guys, some guys won't be here, some guys will be. You know, that's just the nature of the business, as you know.
Yeah.
And pretty much, you know, we miss our guy Jadeveon for sure, and yeah, at the end of the day, you know, guys have to go through the business part eventually at some point, and so his time and, you know, between him and between the franchise, that time was now. And
yeah.
So, you know, whatever the case may be, it didn't see eye to eye or could have come to terms and whatnot. Of course, all that transpired to him, you know, being traded and us picking up a few great guys out of the transaction and all that. And so for us on defense, pretty much, you know, I being back at the Jack position, you got Brendan Scarlett back there, who's, you know, taking on the Sam role and all that. And we're just over there just changing a few things up, just allowing guys to play comfortably at with their skill set and doing a great job at it and being very productive at that.
Yeah, and you in particular, obviously coming on the edge as a stand-up guy. And and a guy can get to the quarterback, but also can is an athlete, which, you know, directs us to the division. When BT mentioned this coming in, some questions with the Tennessee Titans right now. And the one team, though, that is right on your heels is the Indianapolis Colts. So when the season started, nobody thought the Colts would be where they are right now. You have them this upcoming week, Jacoby Brissett, who's a big player and playing good football. And what's the threat with the Indianapolis Colts? We know their run game is good, but, you know, how do you attack a Jacoby Brissett-led team as opposed to what you would have had if Andrew Luck hadn't retired?
Yeah, of course, yeah, they have to adjust. Well, Andrew Luck being retired and all that, they have to adjust as far as the skill set that or the skill caliber that Jacoby Brissett brings to the team. One thing, you know, just seeing him, we got to be able to stop that run. Biggest thing is to stop the run, get him behind, get him into more or so of a one-dimensional team to go in here and out so we can turn our heels back and get some pressure on him. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we have to be able to handle. And also the play action, shots downfield to T.Y., they have two-man routes, they have two-man route combinations and things of that nature.
You know, and we're talking to Whitney Merciless here, eight years already out of Illinois. Man, and by the way, is Illinois ever going to get good? I mean, every time I have somebody from the Illini on, I got to ask them the question, are they ever going to get good?
Oh, man, you and me both. We're still wondering.
You know, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you, coach.
Trust me, man. Since I've been there, that's always been the question. Like, come on, we got to get this thing together. And, you know, just being a fan, like, as of now, looking from the outside in, and it's just like, come on. Yeah, we need a spark, something.
Yeah, Whitney, how do you recruit to Illinois? You know what I mean?
Gotta get some of those like, Chicago
how did you end up at Illinois? Because I think that's probably the biggest challenge for Lovey down there is look who you're competing against. How do you recruit to Illinois?
Oh, man, that's tough, man. Okay, so despite – you know, all the losses going on right now, especially within our own conference, man, to recruit, man, I don't even know. At this point, it's like, you got to beg and plead for some recruits to come in.
Or you pay him. He's got to start paying him.
And in order to do that, I mean, you got to turn around and start winning these games.
Yeah. Hey, listen, tell Lovey, thanks for covering the spread. I took him plus 23 against the Wolverines this past weekend.
I just got to tell you, that hurt. That one hurt.
I hear you, man. It's Whitney Merciless with us here. Just started getting ready to wrap it up 8 years already, as I said, out of Illinois. 2016 second team All-Pro. Texans 4-2. You know, Tiki brought up Jacoby Brissett. We'd be remiss. You guys got the early dose of not quite Minshew magic, but Gardner Minshew. You guys played him in week 2. You won by a point. This guy probably, I mean, you didn't have a lot of tape on him. He's not physically imposing. From what you thought he would be to what you've seen, I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he's obviously better than some people thought he would be. Are you surprised he's played relatively well being thrust into the situation the way he was?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as a rookie, you don't expect a rookie to have that much composure and, that much spunk within their first year to really step up and, win a few games and all that. So when we played him, it was actually quite impressive, you know, coming off the sideline. We're like, okay, yeah, he's got some composure back there. We got to really, like, handle this guy. And he'll break you off as far as scrambling and all that. So that's one of the things that we have to be cognizant of when that time does come when we play him again. And he'll be better the second time around as far as what he's seen from our front and all that. So, to be honest, I am surprised that he's been doing what he's doing. But obviously he's putting in the work.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be surprising as far as that goes because he knows what he has to do in order to get ready week in and week out.
Matt, that's a good summation of a young quarterback that's he's got a lot of pub, and rightfully so. He's handled himself pretty well. So, Whitney, good chat. You guys are atop the division at the Colts coming up this Wednesday. It's a CBS game. Then you play the Raiders, and then you're back in the division with the Jaguars, the Ravens down the road. They just picked up another corner in Marcus Peters. So now we get to the month and the part, as Tiki knows. Mm-hmm. Now it's win time. Now it's officially go time. And you know what? I got to be honest. We're all watching because we all like the roster. We've all liked the Texans in years past. But for whatever reason, there's been an element of disappointment. And Tiki and I both think this year feels different. It's up for you to. It's up to you to prove us right. Don't make us look bad, is what I'm saying. All right.
Don't worry about that. we'll get it done.
Thanks, Whitney. Appreciate it, buddy. There you go. Yep.
No
good
problem.
Player. Yep. Good player. Good guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
he missed the
very cordial.
I think 17.
Very happy.
I forget what year he did the Peck. I think it was 17.
16, he was second team All Pro.
So 17.
17,
like
I think,
week
was
five
the injury.
Or six.
Yep.
And I don't think he played at all last year.
17, it happened, what'd you say, 5 or 6 weeks in,
yeah.
Whatever it was?
I just don't remember him last season. He didn't play a ton last season, but he looks right now.
He does.
Interesting. Because they lose Jadeveon Clowney, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And he's right. It was a business decision by the Texans. You knew that deal wasn't going to get done because they're already paying J.J. Watt a ton of money. It opened up the door for Whitney, once he got healthy, to come be this impactful player that he's been through the first 6 weeks of the season. 5 sacks, is leading the team, got an interception as well. He's an impact player. We knew that's who he was, but once you start getting hurt, sometimes it's hard to come back from it. He's come back pretty strong.
Yeah, it's good to see, no doubt. T, coming up next, obviously, raining in the Bronx. You can look at it one of two ways. Does it favor the Astros or does it favor the Yankees? We'll hit that around coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com. And at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney squeezing a little more baseball here. By the way, if you miss any segments, if you want to catch up, boy, it's getting dark out there, boy. Looking like
it looks like
it's opening to a Batman movie.
Exactly.
It looks ominous out there, Teague. You can always find our podcast on radio.com or the radio.com app, plus CBSSportsRadio.com, iTunes, or just about anywhere you want to get a podcast. All free. Download, subscribe away. And make sure you keep up with your boys, Tiki and Tierney, and all of CBS Sports Radio. All right, so.
Let me ask you this real quick,
Tiki.
BT.
Yes.
Jalen Ramsey basically did an in-season holdout.
Yeah, you can interpret it that way. Yeah.
Basically, that's what he did.
Or protest or, a little bit, sure.
He decided he didn't want to be on the Jacksonville Jaguars anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the team actually traded him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mission accomplished, huh, Jalen?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
has that
exactly
ever happened in football?
It's happened in the NBA a few times.
Yeah, NBA,
profile, you know.
I mean, maybe even in baseball, it's happened here or there. You guys, you don't hear about it, but the guy wants out.
Yeah,
you move him and you trade him. I'm trying to think of an example.
Not where the guy so blatantly disrespected the locker room code where I'm not showing up to games.
Yeah.
I'm feigning injury.
Yes.
I don't know that we've seen like this.
A great player.
Yep.
A great player says,
maybe not.
You know what? I don't want to be here anymore. I want out. And again, we talked about this months ago when we started with the holdouts at the beginning of the season. Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, how players are trying to take control of their futures, but for ever, really, the NFL owners and general managers have held all the cards.
Yeah, sure.
It was fruitless. It was like, oh, whatever, hold out. We don't care. We're not letting you go. Now all of a sudden, we're starting to see Zeke gets paid. Melvin Gordon didn't get what he wanted.
He was paid anyway, though.
Of course he was, but he didn't. He did it 2 years before he deserved to be paid.
True.
Right? So Zeke
special
gets
talent,
paid.
Though. Melvin got nothing.
Jalen Ramsey's a special talent.
Exactly.
And he wanted to go where he wanted to go, and now he's traded. It's just
Well, they
odd.
Could have traded him somewhere else. I mean, I don't know that he determined the actual destination.
We don't know the details of that yet. I'm sure more will come out. But we know that Jalen Ramsey wanted to be a star. He didn't, like, they could have gone to the playoffs every year in Jacksonville. I'm not sure he would have ascended to the heights, the national recognition heights, if he's in Los Angeles or even in New York or in Dallas or somewhere that's much more high profile media wise. But again, this is that NBA culture,
a little bit
player culture starting to infect the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels different. In the NBA, we don't necessarily, I mean, you mind it a little bit, but it's such a transient league, the NBA.
Well, the power usage in the NBA is more about constructing a roster.
That's right.
And less about deconstructing a roster.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to align ourselves with my boys' similar talents, and we're going to go do this.
Yeah.
And we're going to create a roster.
Yes. And the NFL has always...
You can't do that in the NFL because of the salary. There's just too many. The finance will never work.
And again, in the NFL has always felt like you got to have a general manager that's really smart because he's got to draft right and have these guys that you got to pay at some point, you know, not come due for the right number of years. So your window's open and put all these other pieces around it. And that came from management. That came from the GM side. Now it feels like players, at least if you're of the ilk of a Jalen Ramsey, have control. What's going to stop whoever the next person is from saying the same thing? I'm in a bad market. Maybe our team's okay. We're middle of the road, up, down. Who knows? It doesn't matter. I don't want to be here anymore. Let me out.
Well, first of all, I don't know that every personality is like Jalen Ramsey. That's a special personality to create that kind of a wedge and be that unprofessional and be okay with it. You know, I don't know that everybody's, I know that not everybody's built quite that way. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there's only so many Jalen Ramseys in terms of talent.
That's a bigger point.
Melvin Gordon didn't move the needle one inch.
That's the better point.
So that's why I'm not worried about it.
So it feels like this is a trend that could happen, but it's not.
No,
there's not enough guys.
I don't
think
so.
There's not enough Jalen Ramseys or Odell Beckham.
I don't think
so. Junior.
Because if you take the 15 best players in football, like the true
non-quarterbacks,
superstars, non-QBs, right?
Non-QBs. Because QBs aren't going anywhere. They want to stay where they got drafted. Hopefully get their fifth-year option, and then sign for 30.
Stay there for life.
30-something.
Get $170 million guaranteed.
Exactly.
You just keep tacking on to
what
Goff got.
Because once quarterbacks move, it's like a diminished – it's like selling a I don't know, a Bentley or something.
Like Flacco.
Yeah.
A little bit. So let's take – yeah, and not to even rifle through the names, but take the – whatever the perceived 15 best non-quarterbacks are, non-quarterback players are in the NFL. Of the 15, you know, you'd have to think that – I mean, I'm just going to be conservative here. 9 or 10 are actually happy?
Yeah.
They're either very happy where they are, they're getting paid, or they're about to get paid.
That's right.
Jalen Ramsey's a unique enough situation based on his personality, based on the market, based on Tom Coughlin and his old school ways and his reluctance to bend. I don't think that's a trend that overtakes the NFL.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen again.
It's just interesting because it's never happened. It's like you've never seen this before. A guy generally healthy finding reasons not to play.
No, it's crazy.
Not to play. Like I'm hurt. I got a cold.
And I got rewarded.
I got a cold.
Yeah.
I'm having a baby.
Yeah.
Right? My back hurts. Uh-huh. I need a bacheotomy. but I don't want to be here. Trade me. Okay, we'll trade you.
I know.
It's so rare. It's interesting.
It is what it is, you know? What's going on, Ack? What do you got going on today, buddy?
Oh, we got a lot of little things.
A lot of little things.
You know.
A non-baseball game.
Yes. There's nothing on to watch tonight, unless you want to watch hockey.
Weather going to be okay tomorrow?
Yeah, it's going to stop. I think it's going to be cold and windy.
That's all right. It's October.
They'll play. You know.
But it's going to be dry.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, it kind of sets up for an interesting series now because you have the short turnaround Friday, Saturday. Somebody might be facing elimination at that point.
Well, here's the problem, and I was going to say this before the Ramsey stuff. You know, and I heard a lot of this locally driving in, and I think Yankee fans are a little bit off in this assessment of how this benefits them. Because the Yankee fan, I heard this a lot today, well, listen, this allows, you know, Tanaka to go on regular rest, which is true. And it really sets up the Yankees to kind of, at least in terms of the intangibles of this, sure, you're down 2-1, you got to start hitting, or otherwise it doesn't matter. But in terms of the intangibles, this allows the Yankees to maybe seize a little more control than they would have had if they would have played today. I disagree for this reason. Yeah, Tanaka's going to go on regular rest tomorrow, and hopefully he's as good as he was in game one when he threw 68 pitches and he absolutely baffled Houston, and he was great, didn't give up a run. But now Houston bypasses their bullpen day, which was supposed to be today, which theoretically could have been a day the Yankees smacked 3 or 4 bombs against 3 or 4 or 5 different arms. That's number one. And now with the rain delay, they have to, if there's no further delays and it goes 7, you're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Aaron Boone doesn't let his starters go deep into a game, which means the Yankees bullpen will not have to pitch in 4 if they get to 7 games, which I'm not so sure that they will. If they're lucky enough to get there, you're pitching Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday against a great lineup.
Unless Tanaka and Paxton give them length.
Yeah, but Tanaka, he had a shutout the other night. He took him out after five or after six.
68 pitches.
After 68 pitches.
How about your Game 7 starters, Chad Green and Urquidy?
Oh, jeez. That's where Tanaka's going to have to suck it up and get back out there. You know, and the problem, and I really wanted to see this, and it didn't come to fruition. You know, from my point of view, I didn't really mind because the Yankees tacked on a few add-on runs. But if they didn't score those extra runs in Game 1 Sunday night, I wanted to see if he would have trotted Tanaka out there for the seventh, up a couple of runs, and they hadn't shown an even anything that remotely resembled a clue against Tanaka that night. I wanted to see if he was going to put him out. And now when you scored, I think they tacked on three more, I want to say, at least three. So I think it went from two-zip or to five, or three-zip to five-zip, whatever it was. Then you could say, eh, give it to the lower leverage arms to go from there and then eventually get to Chapman. I think Yankee fans have a little twisted. I don't think this really benefits them as much as they think. Axe update is now. We'll come back. We've got a little blast for you. Tiki and Tierney. Here's Rich Ackerman. All right. We are getting ready to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Tommy in New Jersey. All right, guys. Alex Smith admitted he's had 17 surgeries since hurting his leg in 2018, but he still wants to play. Is he crazy, or are we cool with him trying to get back in the NFL?
He is crazy, but if you play football, you are a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Hell, I played a few games with a broken arm, like compound, not complex, didn't come out, but a compound fracture of my ulnar in my arm. You play football, you're crazy to an extent. So I love it. Good for him. I hope he does it. I just don't see it happening.
I love it, too. I really do. He's a gamer, and I'm rooting for him. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. Car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Yeah, I mean, please. You know the way I'm wired. I had Tommy John surgery in November. I was playing on St. Paddy's Day. I mean, I had Achilles surgery in May. I was on a golf course in August, all taped up. I mean, that's just the way. Certain people are just really
crazy.
But yeah, I guess you have to. Now, obviously, I'm not getting hit, thank God. I mean, that my body wouldn't hold up there. But there are certain people who just don't quit, man. I mean, certain people don't tap out. And he's one of those people. And I'd really like to see him go out on his terms because he's had such an interesting career.
Yeah.
If you really think about it.
Up and down and, like, dismissed, but then, like, considered, you know, one of the top in the – not elite, but, like, one of the top, like, consistent quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
And then gets traded to Washington to be this – I don't know what he was going to be there. Bridge.
A good bridge.
Good bridge. Yeah. Maybe even lead them somewhere if they built up enough talent around them. And then he – and now he's – I mean, God, it's the way you almost lose your leg playing a game, that's scary.
That might be time to tap out.
I don't disagree.
You ready for the blast here, T?
Let's go.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right. The Patriots suspend Michael Bennett for a week after a confrontation with a position coach over playing time. Should they just cut ties with him at this point?
No, they shouldn't cut ties with him. Michael Bennett's a good player. He's been relegated to about 11 snaps a game. And even his teammates, Kyle Van Noy, talked about this. It's hard, you know, when you start to get to this point in the season and you become a
specialty guy.
Yeah, specialty guy in a sense. But knowing the Patriots, if there is an issue with him, they will trade him before the deadline and get some sort of asset back for him because he's still a decent player. But no, they shouldn't cut him.
I mean, I don't know what you get back from at this point. I mean, like a fifth-round pick, maybe.
Whatever. Somebody's looking for
that's
true. You know?
That's fair. Listen, you have to trust their instincts with everything. If it was to the point of disrepair, he'd be gone.
That's right.
Yeah, there'd be no quit. Pack your bags, get out. You no longer fit the team direction or the direction that we're trying to go here. So you can now leave, and we are going to remove you from the equation. I love that he's not playing against the Jets. You know, I'll take that. Not that I expected him to get 3 or 4 sacks, but that's one player down. So, listen, they run a tight ship, and if you don't abide by the rules, there's repercussions. And I love that. I respect that so much about them. All right, the XFL announces there's six quarterbacks. There's six quarterbacks. You ready? Ready for the names. Landry Jones, Cardale Jones, Aaron Murray, our buddy Aaron Murray.
Matt McGloin.
He's on the New York team, isn't he?
Philip Walker.
Matt McGloin, really?
Jordan Tuamu and Brandon Silvers
for the Seattle Dragons. Luis Perez for the LA Wildcats. Have we put you to sleep yet? are we surprised there's no Manziel?
Just like our boy Aaron Murray.
Well,
shout out to the Tampa Bay Vipers.
Props there, CBS. CBS teammate.
Yes. College football.
Are we surprised there's no Manziel?
No, I'm not surprised.
Why not?
Because it's the XFL. They have money behind them. They have legs. They want to put out a legitimate product.
Johnny Manziel is better than Luis Perez?
Maybe, but Johnny Manziel has had issues after issue after issue that they just don't want to touch right now.
Been pretty good for the last year and a half. Hasn't gotten any trouble.
But give him a chance. He didn't, but his ex-wife.
You know what it is, too? I think this is actually the smart play not to wheel him out now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no... Well, but you're saying you can't bring him into camp at some point.
Is he some, like, valued asset right now?
I bet you... Listen, of all the names we just mentioned, who would you rather watch play, them or Johnny Manziel? The answer is Manziel in terms of ratings.
At this point, I don't know if I trust Johnny Manziel.
No, I'm saying in terms of ratings.
I agree, but I just don't know if I trust him being any good.
No, I don't... Listen, this is smart because... If you trot him out now, it seems a little WWE-ish, and they're trying to get away from that a little bit. They're trying to legitimize the XFL brand, unlike the last time, the first installment. Nobody said you can't bring him into camp for a battle. Mm-hmm. You know, once you've already established the league a little bit, I think he's going to get a call, but I have no problem with what they did here. Cardale Jones could be interesting.
Yeah, very
interesting there. All right, the Angels hired Joe Maddon. Which of the remaining jobs is most desirable? For me... You know, well, listen, I do think the Mets job is very desirable. I do like the Giants job. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, the stadium, the culture, the organization, the structure of the organization, you know, the division's not, I mean, the Dodgers are a beast, but the division's not particularly potent, you know, I mean, the Rockies, the Padres didn't do much. I would say the Giants to me, if you're asking me which job would I want, if I didn't take the Mets job, I would take the Giants job.
Give me the Phillies. Got Bryce. Mm-hmm. Andrew McCutcheon gets healthy.
Yeah. Not Andrew McCutcheon when he was 25. It's Andrew McCutcheon. I actually thought he was going to do all right for them this year. Philly's job is interesting, too. It's a good division.
It's a big market.
Not bigger than San Francisco. San Francisco's top five in the country.
Of course, but it's still a big market.
Yeah, no, it's big. What is Philly, about 9 or so market-wise? Maybe a little better than 9, in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, I just don't know which one specifically.
It's a big market that doesn't feel as big as it actually is.
It has a rabid fan base.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. All right. Might have to go and check out some of my ancestors over there. Illinois, Nebraska. Open it up in Ireland in 2021.
Hmm.
What are our thoughts on these European excursions or...
For college football?
Yeah, I guess for college. Yeah, for college. Keep it at college.
Philly's the number 4 market?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, top 5.
I didn't think it was... Wow.
Yeah.
I don't mind this. I don't know what the tie is. It'd be more interesting to me if this was a... I don't know. There was some... historical tie to one of these universities.
Like if Notre Dame went over there,
yeah,
which they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems random, but yeah. I guess I don't mind it.
Well, maybe they just go by the nickname. They're the Fighting Illini. They're like, well, these guys like to fight. Bring them to Ireland. I actually like it. Listen, here's the thing. If you don't want to go, don't go. It's a great chance for the alumni base to really
go see
a beautiful part of Europe and have a great memorable trip.
And the kids are going to love it. It's going to be amazing for them. So I don't mind it. I wish there was a story behind it. I don't know what the story is behind it.
Yeah, playing Nebraska. That's going to be in 2021. Better get some players, Lovie Smith, if you're still coaching the team by then. We'll see.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I wonder how hard it is going to be.
What, Teague?
For Lovie. And how much leeway he's going to get.
This is year 4 or 3? It's 4. I think it's year 4 for
Lovie
Smith.
I think it is.
It's got to be.
Because he was right after Schiano, right? Down in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
And he was only there for 2 years.
Lovie Smith, it's got to be year 4.
He's right. And we talked to I'm forgetting his name, Whitney Merciless, a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to recruit there. How are you recruiting to Illinois in the Big Ten right now?
It's tough. I mean, they haven't had many years. I forget the year. I've referenced this team on occasion.
And I like Lovie.
I love Lovie Smith. I thought it was a smart hire, too.
Me, too. I thought he got a raw deal in Chicago.
We all did. And he came off a 10-win season. He absolutely got hosed.
He even got a worse deal in Tampa.
Think about this.
Because it was, you know, worse than a bridge coach that they wanted to hire there.
Correct.
And they didn't even get – they gave him no time. And then they moved on from him. And then he goes to Illinois. It's like, okay, he can stabilize there.
For sure. Listen, I'm not trying to just go for the low-hanging fruit and reach for the race card. We don't do that unnecessarily on the show. There's so many important things to talk about without going for it when you don't need it. But you know, it's hard to, you know, just because we're talking about Lovie Smith. I mean, Lovie Smith gets fired after 10 wins. Freddie Kitchens goes from position coach to offensive coordinator to head coach in 10 months.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't seem equitable.
No.
Here's what, yeah, it is year four at Illinois. 3-9. 2-10, 4-8. We're coming. 2-4 so far.
Yeah, a couple close losses. East Michigan, they lost 2 by 3 points. Nebraska,
Michigan,
they lost by 4.
You got to beat Eastern
Michigan.
I agree. They lost. Michigan's one thing. Eastern Michigan,
they lost to Nebraska by 4.
Yeah,
Minnesota's
pretty good.
They are. Minnesota hung 40 on them. And then Michigan hung 42 on them. So yeah,
I don't know their facilities. I know they the new stadium somewhat new. I guess what when they win the share of the Big Ten title with Kurt Kitner, 03, I feel like that's the year. It's a tough place to draw to. Even their basketball team has gone down big time. And when we were kids, Marcus Liberty, Darren Williams went there, Luther Head. I mean, they were Billy Self was there. I mean, the basketball program's gone down. What up, Mike?
I got to ask you a question. This is a little bit off the Illinois topic.
That's fine.
But Myles Garrett just tweeted out a really interesting situation.
I did see this, but I didn't delve too deeply into it. Go ahead.
So he says, quote, a fan hopped out onto his car, out of his car to take a picture with me and then punched me in the face.
Oh, God.
Jeez. Put your legs into it. It might have actually made me flinch. Like, imagine just sitting in your car and someone takes a picture of you, and the next thing you know, you get a punch in the face.
You got to be on drugs. That young man who... Who did that?
Wait,
had to
did
be
he
high.
Did he retaliate?
No. So apparently he said he was sitting in his car and he didn't have and he opened his window just slightly. So the guy punched him in his face and he couldn't get out of his car. But like, think about what would have happened had he gotten out of his car and beat the crap out of this dude.
Well, this guy would
Myles
be dead.
Garrett gets suspended.
That's what would happen.
But then you think about Myles Garrett gets suspended. Maybe he has to go to anger management. There's a video of it of Myles Garrett punching a guy in the face.
You know what, Mike? I hear
it's
you.
It's really interesting to think about what these guys go through and what they have to put up with. I mean, this is crazy.
Well, that's insane. But you'd have to think that, you know, for once, common sense would prevail with the NFL if there was video captured and he was antagonized by some insane fan who punched him first. There's no way Myles Garrett's getting. I don't care
you
what gotta, it did
you gotta
to the
have
young
a right
man.
To defend
He's not
yourself.
Getting suspended.
Yeah, you have a right to defend yourself.
Yeah,
I mean,
please. There's not a person alive that wouldn't defend Myles Garrett.
And wait, he didn't get out. He didn't get out and chase the guy.
He's
or?
A beast too. I mean, he is a beast.
I think it says the guy just hopped right back in his car and drove away.
Oh, so it's like a road rage thing?
No, he wanted to take a picture with him.
Was it a road? No
it's
accident.
It's something called a pillow tap, I guess. Which is like you know, you try to pretend to be friends with somebody, then you punch him. Guess that's a thing?
Is that a new fun game in this weird world we live in?
Listen,
jeez, what is wrong with people?
D-Cell said to me, he's got to take some chutzpah to walk up to Myles Garrett, 6'6", 200 and whatever pounds of Myles
Twice
Garrett.
Twice on drugs.
Wait, so this is
the face.
Wait, hold on. This is a thing called pillow tapping?
I mean, I guess. I mean, Garrett says something about pillow tapping in this thing. I don't know.
It was like the knockout game, which was popular a couple of years ago. When you walk down the street and you hit an unsuspecting 83-year-old woman and you knock her out and you run. I mean, what is wrong with some people? Good
people,
God.
People are idiots.
They really are. I wish Myles Garrett would have kicked the crap out of him.
I do, too.
I really wish he would have laid him out and just destroyed him.
But you know what? The story would be different if he had done that.
No, it wouldn't have been.
The story would have been road rage incident, Myles Garrett.
Well, we would have supported Myles Garrett.
Under investigation.
It would have started with the Myles Garrett stuff. Then the investigation would have maybe shown this. But it would have started with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett punches out a fan, and then the details may have come out.
Yeah, that's true. The initial reaction, the headline would have been no doubt about it.
And let's also be honest, the way we react, our first reaction would be, oh, my God, Myles Garrett punched a guy. Now maybe the details come out and we change our stance a little bit, but the first reaction would have been
crushing. That's the one that lasts, unfortunately.
And that's it's always the first impression. Tiki, what was the craziest thing a fan's done to you for an autograph?
Sanity.
Nothing.
Oh.
I was always happy, smiling. Fans loved me.
I don't.
Even
not every Giant fan loved you for a couple
years. Hey, you
better
beware, man. I'm gonna.
Let's be honest.
I'm gonna punch you in the face next time.
That's true. In person, everyone loves
you. I've never had anyone say anything bad to me in person.
You're one of the nicest guys I know, and you're one of the most pleasant people I know. You really are.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Listen, I've said this many times. We haven't traveled, you know, Final Four, Super Bowl, some appearances. It's been a little bit since we traveled as a show. This guy walks through the airport. He's the nicest guy around. Take the pictures, sign everything. It's I've said this many times. It's cool to see because it's sincere.
I'm trying to get them to buy us some beers.
See you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.